Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. 20 states and the District of Columbia allow medical use of marijuana. Patients can either buy or grow marijuana for uses like pain relief. In Maryland, the General Assembly took a first cautious stab at creating a medical marijuana program last year. Marijuana was to be made available and its use studied by academic medical centers. But none of the academic centers in Maryland signed up to participate. Legislators decided before adjourning this week to allow certified doctors to write prescriptions for medical marijuana that can be bought from licensed growers and dispensaries. With me to talk about how this new program will work is Delegate Cheryl Glenn, a Democrat from Baltimore City. She was a co-sponsor of the medical marijuana bill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And with us by phone is the chair of Maryland's Medical Marijuana Commission, Dr. Paul Davis. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And am I pronouncing your name correct?
Absolutely.
Davis, even though it's spelled with an E in there. And with us by phone is Ryan Vandry. He's an associate professor and researcher at the Behavioral Pharmacology Research Unit at Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center. Welcome.
Thank you.
Delegate Glenn, one of the reasons you wanted to make medical marijuana accessible in Maryland was that you thought it would have helped your mother, Natalie LaPrade, who died of cancer 4 years ago. What would it have done for her?
It's an appetite stimulant. And doctors have, over the years, said that if you can prescribe medical marijuana to patients who are suffering debilitating illnesses and diseases, it would allow the patient to be able to eat. And in many cases, it relieves the pain and suffering. We've had a wealth of people come in every session since I've introduced the bill, which is 2007. And they talk about how the only relief they can get is from medical marijuana. Unfortunately, it's been illegal in the state of Maryland. Also, they talk about the ravages of the medicine that the FDA has approved and how those medicines have such negative side effects that they don't even want to deal with the traditional medications. Marijuana doesn't do that. And I'm just really elated that we've been able to accomplish this in Maryland. Not only my mom, but my brother-in-law also. I had two close family members who suffered and died right before my eyes.
So under the bill that you have co-sponsored, how will patients be able to get medical marijuana?
Let me also give a shout out to Dr. Dan Morheim, the only doctor in the legislature. He and I were, you know, Tom and Jerry team on this. We've been working on this ever since last year together.
Uh-huh.
And so what will happen is the Medical Marijuana Commission will license and regulate the growers and the dispensers. And people will be able to go to their doctor who they have a bona fide relationship with, who are suffering illnesses. This is not for people who say, I have a headache, I want some marijuana. This will be a tightly regulated program. And that doctor will be able to write a recommendation, a prescription. That doctor will also be certified by the commission. And then the person, either the patient or the caregiver, will be able to go to the dispensary to pick up the prescription of the medical marijuana, just like you do any other kind of medicine.
Let me pull Dr. Davis in.
Good morning,
this,
Dr. Davis.
Since he's going to be making...
Morning, Delegate Glenn.
Dr. Davis, the Medical Marijuana Commission that you chair was created by last year's law that called for academic medical centers to distribute medical marijuana. You've been meeting since September. How far along did you get in writing the regulations for that system before having to sort of restart your thought process for the new version of the bill?
We had essentially completed the regulations. They had to go through the formal regulatory process with the state. So that may have taken anywhere from 4 to 6 months, but we had completed the regulations.
And how much of that regulatory framework carries over into the new regime? In other words, the regulations you've written, how much do you have to rewrite?
We've only had, I've only seen the legislation for about 48 to 72 hours. From what I can see, a lot of it will carry over, but there's a lot of significant differences because we didn't look at having dispensaries, and with physicians, it was related to academic medical centers. Now we have to come up with a certifying process.
So, yeah, let me ask you about that. How will doctors be trained in understanding how to prescribe marijuana?
Probably through MedCAI, which is the Maryland Doctors Association, and possibly an online training process.
And so would you expect all primary care doctors to undergo this kind of training? Will some choose to do it, some not? And if so, how will their patients know whether or not this is an option in that practice?
It's a really interesting question. Some states more, as you know, more liberal. Some states more conservative. I suspect that doctors in Maryland will be somewhat conservative. So I think we'll have enough to supply the issues that we have in order to help the patients that want or need medical marijuana, but I don't think we're going to see a surplus of doctors going out on the street, setting up shops, prescribing marijuana for everybody.
Ryan Vandry, you've studied the addictive effects of marijuana on the body. What questions pop up in your mind about how medical marijuana is being put in effect in Maryland?
Yeah, so I'll actually start by clarifying one point from the introduction to this piece. It wasn't that the academic medical centers refused to participate. We couldn't actually endorse anything because the guidelines were never published. So I just want to throw that out there because I hear that as a common misconception.
Well, I've spoken to Delegate Morham about it, who says that he was told by CEOs of three of the academic institutions that they did not intend to pursue it even after regulations were written. So I think we could probably debate a while how interested the academic centers were. But
at any rate,
the legislature has moved on, although as I understand it, the academic centers could still participate with studies if they
exactly.
wanted to.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're certainly still open to that once we see what the program is going to look like. With regards to, my perspective on this, my concern is just that whatever is implemented well. There are a number of different things that you have to look at in allowing something like marijuana to be available as a medicine. Some of the issues there is quality control. And you want to make sure that it's not just grown in somebody's backyard, but that it's grown under scrutiny and that you have product and dose consistency and quality control that you'd want with any other medicine. And then you also want to be careful in terms of regulating the product that's out there. I visited a number of more liberal states out west where medical marijuana seems to be everywhere, and you see a lot of products that are a little bit, from my mind, disturbing a little bit because you end up having things that are packaged as candy with all kinds of crazy names, and that's not medicine. There's no need for that in medicine. What you end up is having an open capitalist market that's really unregulated, and no one really knows what's in some of these products. They're not governed by any board. I think Maryland is taking a good step in the legislation in trying to protect some of that stuff and prevent some of that stuff. So I think that the intent of the Maryland legislation is very good. We just need to be careful to make sure that it's implemented the right way.
That's Ryan Vandry, a Hopkins researcher here on Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Dr. Paul Davis, chair of Maryland's Marijuana Commission, and Delegate Cheryl Glenn of Baltimore. We're talking about medical marijuana. Delegate Glenn, what about the point of the consistency and the knowing exactly how strong a quantity of marijuana is? Mm-hmm. Usually we count on the FDA, mm-hmm. to do that kind of thing, but this is a state project.
Exactly, and I'm glad to be able to respond to what Ryan just said. The Maryland legislation is very, very tightly restricted. A lot of work has gone into this product. It will not look like California at all. We will not have people who grow marijuana in their backyards or at home. This will be a system by which all growers and all dispensers will be licensed and regulated by the Medical Marijuana Commission. And I don't think that model exist in many of the other places. And so the doctors will have to be certified. The patients and caregivers will have to have an identification card system. We will have the independent testing so that you know the quality of the marijuana that you get and the strains that you get is what's needed for your own particular debilitating condition. You know, a lot of strains are good for different illnesses, just like the strain that's used. It's called Charlotte's Web for the little girl that Dr. Sanjay Gupta documented in his documentary called Weed. So our program will be tightly restricted. We won't have any of those problems. I'm not saying that there won't be some bumps and lumps along the road, and we can always come back and address those in future legislation.
Ryan Vandry, you've written about marijuana withdrawal syndrome, that people can have difficulty quitting marijuana when their need for it is over. Is it any more difficult than some prescription pain relievers?
Well, I think it's very similar to what you have with any number of drugs. I did some research a few years back that showed that the withdrawal from marijuana is actually very similar to withdrawal from tobacco. But what you have to remember is really the intent and the duration of use plays an important role in that. When you look at what you talked about, prescription pain relievers, the most common case is someone, you know, gets hurt, they're prescribed a prescription pain reliever, they use it to the point that they need it, and then they stop. And they tend not to experience withdrawal or any problems like that. What you do have is a subset of people who then use beyond what their medical necessity is. And so it's going to be very important for us to kind of monitor and track that in medical marijuana patients to see what proportion of people who are recommended or prescribed marijuana actually use it, what the reaction to that is. So right now, in terms of medical benefit, we're really relying mostly on patient anecdote. There's very little controlled research that's been done. So it's going to be important for us in the state of Maryland to try to collect some data on this. And my most exciting part of the medical marijuana initiative in Maryland is the data reporting requirement.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask,
so that we're going to be able to actually.
We're almost out of time, and I want to ask Delegate Glenn. Mm-hmm. President Obama's administration has told federal prosecutors not to make prosecuting those who use medical marijuana a priority, but it's still illegal under federal law. How much at risk are people?
They are not at risk. Recently, I think a matter of a month or so ago, the Obama administration even released the banking industry to be able to do business with those medical marijuana programs. So all we have to do now is work with the federal government to get marijuana moved from the wrong schedule, Schedule 1. And we believe that that's only a matter of time, a short period of time before that happens.
Okay, let me jump in and ask Dr. Davis, your commission is supposed to have regulations written by September 15th. When would you expect people to actually be able to go to their doctor and get a recommendation for medical marijuana?
You know, sorry. We've only just seen the legislation. It's really hard for us to comment on that, but I would estimate it's going to be at least 18 months.
I appreciate you all talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Delegate Cheryl Glenn of Baltimore co-sponsored the medical marijuana bill that passed this week in the General Assembly. Delegate Dan Moreham of Baltimore County was a co-sponsor, and in the Senate, Jamie Raskin of Montgomery County, all are Democrats. Dr. Paul Davis chairs the state's Medical Marijuana Commission, and Ryan Vandry is an associate professor and researcher at the Behavioral Pharmacology Research Unit at Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center. More information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead, Ghost, the movie, is now Ghost, the musical. Stay with us on 88.1.